Hallelujah.
I don't have any other scriptures to go to other than where we were this morning, so open up to Ezekiel 47. And I don't really think he's through talking about that subject of the rivers of life, the living water, really. And it's the living water first. We talked about it this morning from John chapter 4, which is really a well first within you. That's salvation. That goes with you. That well is always in you. And he says it's a water springing up to everlasting life. And I've been drinking from that well for 30 years, and I'm telling you right now, that well is there, whether your circumstances are good, whether they're bad, no matter what's, you know, good times, bad times. Thank God for the living water that flows up from the well of salvation. But then he talks about the rivers. Out of their innermost being, out of their belly, shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Holy Ghost, which had not yet been given. And there's just a big difference between a well and a river. And really, that river, what that represents, see, you're the temple of God. Now, we're headed to Ezekiel again. You're the temple of God. In the Old Testament here, Ezekiel saw a vision of the temple. And, of course, I'm sure he used the natural temple that was there at the time to help illustrate it in his mind, but really prophetically now, we know that God was really prophesying about you. Today, collectively and individually, we are the temple of the living God, and these rivers are supposed to flow out of us by the Holy Ghost. And we read it this morning. I'm not going to read the whole passage again today, but let's look at the end result of the river. As we let these rivers flow out of us, pick it up in Ezekiel 47, verse 9, because really what he's going to talk about tonight is continuing with that thought of obedience from last Sunday. Obedience. Remember, we talked about the fruit of obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. There's two levels of obedience that we're going to look at tonight. It has everything to do with this learning how to flow in the river of the Holy Ghost. Okay? Now, the end result of that river of life that flows out of you. Okay, starting in verse 6, he just got through talking about the waters that flow ankle deep, then knee deep, hip deep, then they become waters to swim in, okay? And we're going to come back to that in just a minute, because that's the path of obedience, okay? He doesn't do like my dad did and toss you into the deep end and say, swim or die, you know, basically. I'm pretty sure dad would have come after me. But all I can remember seeing was him walking away. So he wanted me to understand, I better swim, okay? Well, anyway, verse 6 here, he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then said he unto me, these water issued out towards the east country, and they go down into the desert. What do you say about a desert? What's common to all deserts? They're dry. Hardly anything will grow there. He's going to send you to some dry places. When he puts you on a job and you're the only Christian there, I will not agree with you in prayer for him to deliver you out of that. He has sent you into the desert. You living water, you. Okay? He has sent you. You're the water that's come to the desert now. Okay? And they go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. This is talking about the nations. The nations, the seas flow to all the nations, okay? And it shall come to pass, boy, if you want a verse now, if you let the Holy Ghost develop that river that'll flow out of you, when that river begins to flow, everything that moves whatsoever, wheresoever the river shall come, everything in it, everything it touches, it says, shall live. There shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh. It shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from En-Gedi even unto En-Eglim. They shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. Now, he talks about these miry places thereof and the marshes, which I didn't get for a long time. These are places that received water at one time, maybe a flood, maybe, you know, when a river's up and there's a little low place and the water goes there. but then it doesn't stay, and then you got a little marshy place. It's just a little bit of water, but there's no flow. Well, what'll happen? It'll become stagnant. That river, every river has to flow. Even the Jordan River, which is teeming with life. It's where John the Baptist was baptized. It was where Jesus was baptized. It's full of life. But once it flows into the salt sea, once it flows into that Dead Sea and there's no outlet and it can't flow anymore, what's the name they put on that? It's the Dead Sea. Nothing will live there. A lot of churches, a lot of people, a lot of ministries become just like that. Okay? It's not all just about me, my four, no more. You'll become a miry, marsh place. And what happens there? There's no flow and there's no depth of water. And it says, they shall not be healed and they shall be given to salt. Okay? But the river, if you stay by the river, now here's what will happen. By the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, King James, everything for food. It's talking about provision. Everything you'll need is there, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. Does that remind you of any other passage in the Bible, like Psalms chapter 1? Psalms chapter 1, by the tree that's planted by the rivers of water, and it doesn't matter whether a drought comes or whether famine comes to the land, that tree is not dependent on the circumstances. That tree draws its nourishment from the river of life. Your fruit will not wither either. Okay? Whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. And it shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary. And the fruit thereof shall be for meat, for food. You'll feed the nations, and the leaf thereof for medicine, provision and healing, and everything shall live. Well, how many wants to get on with that? Everybody, sure, let's get on with that. See, but it starts up here. This vision is laid out this way, not for no reason. As he saw this, and I'm not going to read the first few verses, he saw the temple, and he saw water begin coming out, a river. And he said, this man started measuring here. And this is the way ministry comes. This is the way obedience comes. This is the way I found it to be. Unless you dig in your heels and resist for a long time, like I did, we'll get to that part in a minute. But if God has his way with you, if he has his way, he's a gentle father. And this is the way he does it. So let's pick it up here in verse 3, talking about those waters that ran out, Ezekiel 47:3. When the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me. Did you get that? I will send you another comforter. He will guide you. He will guide you. Here's a man measuring 1,000. He brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the ankles. There's two levels of ministry. There's two lines of obedience I want to talk about tonight. The first line is your training. This is where the Holy Spirit gets involved. He starts measuring out a distance for you. He starts measuring something. What I'm talking about is like when Sue and I first came to the prayer center in June of 1992, we had been saved and spirit-filled already for 12 years. We were already ordained. Most people don't know this. We were actually ordained into the ministry in 1986 and had done prison ministry and lots of other things. And we were spirit-filled. We could shandai with you, you know, in a church service. We could shandai along with anybody, you know, like anybody, you know, get in a worship service and you'd feel his presence. But we had never been taught that there was any reason to do it, to spend long hours praying in other tongues. We had no idea until 1992 when we started hearing Pastor Dave here at the prayer center. So now we're hearing something for the first time. And as I began hearing, see now, you know, and again, I'm going to tell you how he brought me through the waters, but you have a different job than I have. You're at a different age than I am. You have different responsibilities than I have. You know, how he measures for you is not going to be exactly the same as how he measures for me. You understand what I'm saying? So, in my case, as I would listen to these messages, and I'm in a truck and I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I'm in a truck, I'm in a job, where I'm stuck in the cab of that truck anywhere from 40 to 70 hours a week, just depending on how busy we were. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm learning from Pastor Dave. There is great benefit. You could allow the Holy Spirit to become your teacher if you just allow your lips to begin moving and let Him pray God's perfect plan for you. So I'm hearing this, and these thoughts begin to come. Looking back on it now, my teacher was measuring out a distance for me to bring me through the ankle-deep water. And for me, the thought came and eventually solidified. It took a little while. You know, you could turn off that CB radio. You could turn off that natural radio, you know. He said, you know, the thought came, but it still didn't do it right away. See, you know, this is called progressive obedience. But his first thoughts to me was not, go to South Africa. His first thoughts to me was, can you shut off the radio and maybe just obey this one thing? See, obedience. There's, the first lines of obedience have to do with your training. This is Hebrews chapter 12. This is, he'll deal with you as sons. But the first lines of obedience really have to do with your training. If I'm more messed up than the people he sends me to, if I'm more greedy as a preacher than the people I'm preaching to, the doctrine's going to be off. You got that? One of the early things, as you know, that he had to deal with me on, he had to drive the money changers from the temple. What temple? Gary. I was full of greed, and I was full of me, mine, and more, you know. And he had to deliver me from that. I told you, now Lily's already given me the perfect definition of the sin nature. I love her to death. Don't you get on my Lily. I love her now. I was driving her and her little classmate preschool. I don't know exactly what was going on between the two of them. Lily's 3, and I think her friend is 4. But I heard this part. I heard Lily say in a firm tone, "It's mine. I keep it." That's World War II, World War III. You can fight whole wars over this, you know. It's mine, I keep it. Well, God's nature in us is to give and to love, for he so loved that he gave, see. So your first levels of obedience, you have to let this person, there was this man in this vision. He measured 1,000 cubits. He measured something. Then he brought me through it. And first it was ankle deep. Well, how hard is it to go click, shut off the CB radio and click, shut off the other radio, and then just begin to pray in other tongues? It's harder than you think. It's harder than you think. And it took a little while for me to do that. And if I had not done that, I don't know that I would be in ministry still yet to this day. I really don't know. But I did do it. We can take that for an ankle deep one, okay? All right, but as you begin on that level of training, see, now notice, he brought me that was ankles. So look at verse 4. Again, he measured 1,000, and brought me through the waters. Now I want you to say that. He measured 1,000, and then he brought me through the waters. And this time the waters were to the knees. Can you see that? See, if it's a river where there's a current, everybody's stepped into a river at some time. It's different than a well, and it's different than a lake. There's a real river, normally, it has a current. It's a flow, and you can feel that. That's what people say, I feel called to the ministry, and I know they feel. Maybe they're not. And ministry does not. Did y'all know that the fivefold is the tiniest part of the body of Christ? The fivefold is that the vast majority of ministry is not supposed to be done by the fivefold. There's a tiny little tiny portion. And that doesn't mean you're not a teacher or an evangelist or whatever, but that doesn't mean you're going to necessarily be full-time, what we call full-time. Paul, by that definition, never did make it into full-time ministry. I mean, he made tents right up till the end, until they put him in prison, I guess, and he couldn't make them anymore. Well, anyway, Getting back to this, he brings you through the waters. As you begin to do this message, you're going to get ideas. Don't dismiss those. They're ideas from God about your training. And people that I know have been around this for a while, if I can get them, you know, quiet and away from church and talk for a moment, normally they have a fair idea. I say, how long do you think really God would like for you to be praying right now, you know? And they hem-haw around, and how's your cat? How's your grass? How's your dog? We'll have those discussions, you know, but usually I find out, I go, well, I really think I'm supposed to be praying an hour a day or 2 hours a day, or he wants me fasting one day a week. Or those are your ankle-deep training points. That's your beginning point. He's not going to have you go minister until he first brings you through the waters yourself. Notice how that vision was, he brought me through the waters. And as he begins to do that, as you step out deeper, first it's ankle deep and you can feel a little flow. It's not very strong yet, you know, you don't have any trouble. Then to the knees, you go out a little, you know, you can feel that current against your knees. And I hear that all the time. Well, what has he called you to do? I don't know, but I know he's calling me. I can feel the calling. I can feel it. And it's because they're doing the message to a certain point, whatever it is he's asking you to do, in your obedience to him first. Your training, can I say training obedience first? Maybe he's got you in the Word in a certain way. Maybe he's got you listening. Maybe he says, I want you to listen to every one of Dave's series. I want you to do it in 6 months. That's the kind of assignment I'm talking about. It could be anything. I'm not trying to be him to you. But I'm just saying there are things. With me, it was assimilate. When Dave started teaching on assimilate the New Testament, boy, I mean, the Holy Ghost got on me quick, and it still took me about 2 years to do it. To assimilate the New Testament, read every book a minimum of 30 times, it's going to take you a while, especially if you've got anything else at all you got to do. You know, I told him in Korea, we worked it out. I said, you know, staying at it pretty diligent, it's still going to take you about 2 years to really do that. Well, that was something in my plate. That was a knee deep assignment, but that was something that I needed to do for my calling. There was, I told you about the one year that he wanted me to do series fasting. Now, see, I've been very transparent with you people all this time. You know that I have really jumped into that one. That limb, man, I have been to the end of that limb. I'll pray with you. Man, okay, we'll just have a pray down. We'll see who's still praying. Okay. I've prayed. I've been in that one, okay? And I've been real transparent. I've had trouble with fasting. Not that you could tell by looking, but I've had trouble. I haven't done nearly as good with the fasting. But I did do one. One assignment I did complete. And that was the year that he told me to, I want you to do one solid year of series fasting. And at the time, I really thought I was doing it for Lynn Perez's boy, Tommy. I thought that's what it was about. Come to find out, he was building up my spirit and crashing down, reducing the influence of my flesh. I didn't realize that at the end of that year, I was going to quit smoking. After 42 years. Talk about a stronghold. 42 years. Hadn't had a smoke-free day since I was 14. You know? Well, I didn't know that. And I still wouldn't know it if I had not done that level of obedience. Do you know what happened 3 months after that? First trip overseas. Went to Europe. Then went to Africa. Then went to South Korea. Went to South Korea 6 years. All kinds of things began to happen. But there's two levels of obedience. And what I'm talking about now, first there's this level of ministry obedience where he's training you and preparing you. And you've got to be obedient there. Otherwise, the instructions, well, that's not that they won't come. He'll use you the day you get saved. He'll use you that same day to tell someone about Jesus. It's not that he won't use you. But he has got a plan for your life. There is this river, and it's unique for every person. Listen, the same God who makes every snowflake unique, he does not have a cookie cutter thing for ministries. Aren't you glad our pastor is not a cookie cutter pastor? Amen. You know, I mean, he's not a cookie cutter pastor. I don't know anyone that operates like Dave. Do you? You know, that's the way God is. Every fingerprint is different. His You know, you don't need to look at somebody. And I tell them all the time, I said, now, I give my testimony about how God brought us into the ministry, but don't imitate that, except the only part I want you to imitate is the praying, you know, or whatever he says to you. And he is gentle. I will tell you, if he has his way with you, he'll first bring you ankle deep, school you there for a while, then he'll measure out another measure for you. You'll feel it up to the knees, up to the hips. And eventually now it comes out to those water for swimming, and I went by that a little too fast today. See, now eventually, right up until its swimming point, picture yourself walking deeper and deeper into a river that's a picture the Mississippi. How many's been across the Mississippi at one time in your life? You know, that's a river with a current. That rascal will take you. Okay? And you're walking out into the edge of it. Now, can you picture this? You're walking deeper and deeper. You can feel that current every step you take. It's getting stronger. It's getting stronger. But as long as your feet are still touching the bottom, it's still your decision, isn't it? Now, you can go further or you can start backing up. You've still got control as long as your feet touch the bottom. But look at this verse here. Verse 4 again. Again, he measured 1,000. And he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees, and again he measured 1,000. And he brought me through, and the waters were to the loins. And then we come to verse 5. Afterwards, he measured 1,000. And it was a river. Notice it doesn't say, he brought me through it. Did you notice that? Suddenly, it doesn't say that in that one. It was a river that I could not pass over. For the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. Picture again, you're walking out into the Mississippi. Ankle deep, knee deep, hip deep, chest deep. Boy, you're, you know. And at this point, you're in the water, you're tippy-toeing. You know how you can just... You're kind of tippy-toe. You can barely touch the bottom. One more step, and you're no longer in control. Now the river is going to take you where the river wants to go. That's a scary step right there. In my opinion, now see, that's what happened the day that he did call us full-time. I'm going to repeat those words to you again the way I heard it. Now, your calling, he does not have to do it this way. Remember, with Dave, it was a vision. But it was very clear to him. On mine, it was, I heard him as clear as you're hearing my voice right now. I can take you to the mile marker on Interstate 40 in Missouri. It's at the Lamar exit in Arkansas. And he said, this is your last trip as a truck driver. When you get back off of this trip, give your dispatcher 2 weeks' notice. He will not require it of you, and you will be free to serve me full time. Now, I want you to look at the information that's in that statement. The what? Do I know what to do? What is he talking about? Full time ministry. Do I know when? Yes. When I get back off of this trip, when this is the last one, do I know how to do it? Give your dispatcher 2 weeks' notice. Okay? I know the what, I know the when, I know the how, I know the who, my dispatcher. I even know the why in this case, because he told me. He doesn't always answer why, by the way. But he did in this case. I'll be free to serve him full time. So I knew that it was full time ministry. Now, he gave me, that's why I say, I felt led to quit my job and live by faith. You're going to the wrong church for that. I know what you mean. You can feel the current against your knees. You can feel the current against your hips. You can feel that, but he has to measure out the line. And it's up to you then to obey him and go into those waters for swimming. But once you make that decision, your toes leave the bottom. You have to learn to go where he sends you. And you learn to eat what he feeds you with. and you learn to live where he says live, and those kind of decisions are over for you. But see, that's when the real fun begins. And that's when the river carries you and that life begins to happen. And all kinds of wonderful things. Now, you don't have to be in full-time ministry for that to happen, is what I'm saying. But what you do have to do in your heart is come to the place where what he says goes, and your logic has very little to play with it anymore. When he says, do this, it's yes, sir. It begins with the ankle deep, though. Now, in my case, I was already in my 40s. See, I get real upset with people. Let's see now. Looking around the room here, who am I gonna pick on? Oh, I know who to pick on. How old are you? Yes, you. 19. This beautiful little girl here, 19 years old, ornery as they come, loves Jesus, full of the Holy Ghost. 19 years old. She has. Can you think of what this girl knows at age 19? I didn't even get saved till I was 33. I never heard of Dave Roberson, this message, until I was 40. Sue and I were 45 years old the day that we walked through the doors of this church. We began to learn what she already knows at age 19. Now, if she doesn't whip the devil all over the world, I'm going to whip her. If the Lord tarries and they allow weapons in heaven. I mean, look at the potential. Look at the potential that's here, see. If I could have started hearing what, I mean, think what she already knows, and now she's learning things about obedience. She's already moved. See, now let's talk about the good things. Here's a girl that's moved halfway across this country to attend this church. There is no telling where those level, that kind of obedience will end up. See, there's no. She's already in training years. Really, I think ahead of me, decades ahead of me, in many ways. On the other hand, though, I had felt the call of God on my life from about age 12, and I left God. He'd bring me back, and I left God, and He'd bring me back. Then I really left God. Third time, I really left God. Amen. I wasn't coming back, and He knew I wasn't coming back. And as I look back on it now, I can't hardly stand it when I think of it. He looked at me in all my rebellion and said, I'm not willing. So I can't hardly say it. I'm not willing to go through all eternity without Him. Found a guerrilla fighter to send across enemy lines into the business world. Thank God for business people that are called and anointed of God. Don't tell me that's not a ministry. Came across into the business world to get me and bring me back. So by the time that Sue and I started attending here, I'm 45 years old. He started calling me into the ministry when I was 12. Now, the point is, I needed some thrown in the deep end stuff. I didn't have decades to go through gently through the ankles and the knee and like he would like to do. I had dug in my heels and been rebellious from about age 12. I told my mom at age 12, I'm going to be a preacher someday. I knew I had to call on me then. I could feel it. So my suggestion, whatever it is he's telling you, whatever those assignments are, whatever the urges to, however he's measuring out your thousand, you know, if he's been after you to pray a certain amount of time a week or a day, or if he's been after you to do some fasting, talking to you about a fasting schedule of some kind, if he's been talking to you about forgiving so-and-so, if he's been, whatever it is, get on with it. Let's not put it off another year. Let's not let another year go by, and then another year, because what will happen if you keep praying, eventually you give him no choice. He has to throw you in the deep end of the pool. He has to. How's he going to answer your prayer? If you keep praying, he has to throw you in the deep end. That's kind of what happened to me. Well, thank God.
Thank God, though. Still, we had to catch up.
Yes, sir. I'll tell you. Yes, sir. Sandala brastori kistos mancariato. As we was coming up to that time, he was already dealing with me about when I was going to come out
full-time into our... See, in my case, it was full-time. Okay? It didn't have to be. And he was dealing with me before that. He says, one of my discussions... Now, this is, I've taught this many times, but one of the discussions I was hearing in my spirit, he says, you're averaging a minimum of 40 hours prayer here a week in this job. He says, if I ever take you full-time... How are you going to work a job, any other job, and still pray 40 hours a week? He says, because if you can't do that, I'm going to leave you here. Because my training wouldn't continue. So one of the assignments he gave me, some of you have seen this, some of you haven't, but I prepared three different prayer plans. Because I didn't know how it was going to work at that time. I didn't know it was necessarily going to start off full time. So I made a prayer plan. I took a 40-hour, I took really a 24-hour day, 7 days a week, blocked out like a 9-to-5 type job, work. Okay, 9-to-5, got to work, can't pray. And then I started, in those days we had church on, did we have Monday nights at one point? Anyway, whatever it was, I think it was Monday night and some other night, and so I blocked those out, going to be at church. Then there were certain other events that I had to attend. Whatever's left, and I started piecing together so I could make up 40 hours a week. Well, some of that involved getting up at 4 in the morning. I'm not real crazy about it. I used to be better at it now. As I get older, I'm not so crazy about that 4 in the morning stuff. But anyway, but that was plan one. Then there was a plan. Anyway, I came up with three different plans. I did them on my computer. I didn't know much about computers in those days, but I did it in computer. I did it in color. I printed them out and made up it like I had a secretary do, back when I was an engineer at Union Carbide, and I was going to present it to my manager. I presented this in full color, printed it out and everything, a proposal, and submitted it to the CEO of God and Sons Incorporated. You know, I wanted him to know I was serious. When that happened, and Sue and I were in full-time ministry, I tell you, once the day comes, you will thank God for every hour of prayer, every hour of fasting, every hour that you obeyed him in whatever case it was, you'll be so glad. You just don't know what I would give today for 1 week of praying in the trucks. God, that would be wonderful to go back there. But one of those prayer plans I had to actually do. Most people are not self-starters. That's why most people have to have a job. A job they'll get fired from if they don't do it. But when you really, quote, if you go full-time, you have to be a self-starter. It's not exactly right, because he is the one that's giving the directions. You really do have a boss. But you're the one that's going to have to get up. If the schedule you made says get up at 4 in the morning and go to the ugly building and pray, then you have to get up at 4 in the morning and go to the ugly building and pray. And I did it for years. Then before a conference, sometimes you'd have me... I mean, normally that would go from 4 till... This is after the trucks. 4 in the morning till noon was normal. Before a conference, it was 4 in the morning till 9 at night. For 2 weeks before a conference. And you either do that or you don't do it. And he'll love you whether you do or whether you don't. But you'll tell a difference in the anointing. You'll tell it. He doesn't measure out those lines for no reason. Now, the whole thing I'm trying to do here is get you to understand... Most people are wanting to be in ministry, but they're jumping over the personal training part to a large degree. They're jumping over that part. And if you do that and get thrown in the deep end of the pool, it's going to be harder on you. Why don't you just obey him now? Whatever it is he's asking you to do now, just do that. You know? If it's get up and pray an extra hour a day, I'm not looking at... And please, I have to look somewhere. I'm an equal opportunity gazer. I'm trying,
If I make a sentence when my eye happens to be on you, that's not necessarily God. I'm just moving around here, okay? But just obey him now. Just obey him now. And what with me, I told you this morning, there's an instruction he's given me that I've been rebelling against for over a year. You know, I've shared it with a few people. It's not easy. But I've started now. My body can tell it. But see, the devil will be able to tell it for long. See? And this is a more difficult one than he's ever... It's different. And I understand it. I understand a big part why he's doing it. But it doesn't mean it's easy. But boy, I'll be so much better off. And the people at the people that he intends to bring the river to through me will be so much better off if I will obey him at this end and do what he's telling me. See? I'll finish with this. A good friend of mine named Vince, him and his wife have been in ministry for a long time. Vince and I always hit it off. He grew up in construction and truck drivers and stuff like I did, so we both had kind of a rough background. We didn't care a bit about your title, about your turned around collar, about your suit. We want to know, do you love Jesus and are you serving him? Okay. And he was the kind of guy, he was like a combination a little bit between Pastor Dave and Jason. He's got a real strong anointing, a healing anointing. And he had a heart always for poor people like Jason. He always wanted to feed people and clothe people. So for years, him and his wife Marianne, they had a ministry down in Fort Myers, Florida. And they would fill up containers, these metal containers that go on ships. They'd fill them up with clothes and non-perishable food items. And they'd just ship it to Haiti, you know, or they'd ship it to Jamaica. They'd ship it wherever it needed to go. And they'd believe God for all the money to do that. And I was down, I'd help him load some of them containers. It gets hot in South Florida, in metal containers, and you're working in there. I mean, you talk about working now, you know. And Vince was a little bit older than me. I'm 63, 67, so he's 4 years older than me. And they've been busy all around the world, and plus finances are always an issue. And so they used to come to the conferences, but they went through a spell where they hadn't been to a conference in about 6 years. They were coming to this one, this one we just had in October. And I was talking with him on the phone, man. They were excited. The money was there. They had already called and made their reservations out here at the Studio Plus, you know, at 31st and Memorial. And they were going to stay there, and man, it was great. And I'm talking with him on the phone while we're talking that day, which I'd talk to Vince about twice a month. And no matter where they were in the world, he had Skype and I had Skype, so we could talk. I was talking with him that day, and in the course of it, before we hung up, he says, you know something I've been wanting to do for a long time? He says, I've been wanting to walk the Appalachian Trail. Do y'all know what the Appalachian Trail is? You know, it's the Appalachian mountain range that runs through the eastern part of the country. And he says, I've been looking at that. It goes through 6 states. And he says, you know, if I just like took 1 state a year, like a project, and maybe not do it all at one time, but over a course of a year, doing different sections, you know, he says, if I did 1 state a year, I could finish that whole trail in 6 years. And he said, boy, that'd be a good thing. And I'm saying, yeah, that does sound like, you know, 67-year-old man. I thought, well, that'd be good for you. And yeah, that'd be a good thing to do. We hung up, and Vince died that night. He died that night. His heart just blew up. By the time the ambulance got to the house, he was already stone cold dead. And if I could talk to Vince, Vince is my friend. I love him. That's a guy that'll kick my bottom if I'm not. Anyway, if he gets to watch from heaven. Anyway. I love Vince, and he knows it. But see, if I could have an opportunity to ask him one more question, here's what I'd like to ask him. Vince, how long had it been in your mind to walk that Appalachian Trail? Because knowing God how I know him now, I bet you that was God trying to save his life. Get him into that exercise and that fresh air and walking and doing all of that for 5 years. I mean, how long has it been, Vince? 5 years? How long has that idea been in you? Well, God had been dealing with me on something that will affect my health and my ministry and my anointing. I called the very next day and we got with the program. That's okay. And it has been hard. It has been rough. It involves physical things.
It's not been easy, and it's not. It's stronghold. Let's say it. Surely Gary doesn't have strongholds. Certain patterns in my life. I've never had this pattern of exercise in my life. I just never have. I always worked. But now God, and He's been dealing with me for years. So that was my wake-up call. And I don't want to get thrown in the deep end of the pool again. I think I'll just obey Him here. Okay, and you'll see the end result of it. And the devil will see the end result of it. And we'll finish our course with joy. Amen? Did you get anything out of that? So just take inventory, people. He's bringing you as fast as He can into the fullness of what He's called you to do anyway. It's not like He's fighting you on this. But the instructions aren't first, go ye, you know. First, it's like, come and follow me. Let the Holy Spirit measure out a line. Let me bring you through the waters. Let me bring you to where you need to go. I'll eventually bring you to those waters to swim in. But you don't start there. You got that? Hallelujah. Okay, praise the Lord.